I want to thank State Representative Jerry Costello for joining us this morning. Jerry, how are you, pal? Well?
I'm doing great, Tom. And as you know, this is the last scheduled day of session here in Springfield, hoping that something gets done. But, you know, at the end of the day, you hope something responsible gets done.
Right. And let's start there, because that's a good point. Whenever I was speaking with members of the median legislature yesterday afternoon, the Senate was presented with a 1,245-page budget, $38.5 billion. How long now do you have to review it, and what's your decision, or have you made one yet on how you will fall on the Senate's presented budget to the House?
So, Tom, I have been and I will be reviewing the budget. I would imagine we will probably, my guess is we'll vote on it early afternoon today. There are questions if it's totally imbalanced. You know, the questions are a couple hundred million dollars, which is it's a lot of money. But then again, when you're talking about $38.5 billion, you know, people tend to move things around and make it look like it's balanced at times. So I'll definitely be looking into it. One thing I can tell you, and I've made this point earlier, as one budget bill, I will not be voting on the budget because it has taxpayer-funded abortion in it. In the past, we've done the budget in silos. You know, as many as, I believe one time we did it in 21 different silos. Sometimes it's been done in like 7 or 8 different silos. But as you know, I'm pro-life. And the signing of HB 40 and that bill going into law causes me, you know, great caution on signing a budget that would provide taxpayer-funded abortion in the state of Illinois.
One of the issues on the local level that was presented by Herron Mayor Steve Frattini when I was speaking with Senator Fowler about this morning was the local government distributive funds. Senator Fowler reported that there was those were cut by 10%, and Senator Fowler tells me there's a replacement in this budget, 5%.
Correct. So last year, the budget cut them 10%. This year, the replacement, they're still cut, but it's cut by 5%, you know, from previous years. So they do get about, 50% of that cut back.
Right. In Herron, that would be $75,000. So
it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because you hear politicians, you know, especially up here, talk about local control, local control, local control. And, you know, many of them are for it except when they're against it.
Now, one of the items that I'm speaking with other state representatives, they had been wondering about this in the past few days and had not seen the legislation. So no answer to this. And that is the question about revenue. Revenue from selling the Thompson Building for $300 million. All right. Well, it was kind of included in last year's budget. $600 million from increases in income tax collected. Because when you look at this $38.5 billion, about $1 billion higher than last year, my question is, where's the money coming from? I'm assuming the tax increase. Am I off base?
Tom, you're dead on, and that goes back to my previous answer about, you know, some people trying to impose this and say that it's a balanced budget. You know, there are definitely some what I would call gimmicks in this budget that, probably look to make it appear more balanced than, in my opinion, than it may be.
Here's the thing. When we see this with this deadline coming up, and there's a level of pressure based on the clock that I don't think should be there. I mean, I very often think the legislature and its management, more specifically, isn't very good at time management, or it's really, really good at time management when it comes to getting what it wants, because you feel that pressure to get this done by midnight, what it means about getting your job get done, right? Not that we're talking about so much about leaving, is that there's a deadline there that needs to be met, and this dropping the Senate with 1,245 pages and go read this and vote on it now, it doesn't seem like the way anybody who's good at business would do business.
Tom, I couldn't agree with you more. And this is a process that's, you know, leadership has probably delved into I would roughly say the last 3 weeks. But, as far as rank and file, truly understanding, what's going on, what's in the actual budget. I would say that, you know, those scenarios have probably taken place over the last week, and nobody knew 100% until the Senate just saw the document for the first time, which, as you said, is, you know, 1,250-some pages.
All right. So there are some good things in this budget. And when I was speaking with Senator Fowler earlier this morning, when I listened to the tone of his voice, in particular, education funding seems that he was really, really happy with how that was in the number amounts that were included in this budget presentation.
So, Tom, this budget would represent the new funding model for schools in the state of Illinois. So, you know, it would give the approximately $350 million extra to schools in the state of Illinois. So there's no doubt that, you know, this represents a higher funding level. Also, many people in southern Illinois are obviously concerned about SIU. Higher ed, I think there's a 2% increase for higher ed over what they received last year. I would have preferred a much larger increase for higher education. I think many of the campuses in our state, especially SIU, are absolutely economic drivers for the state of Illinois. I wish we were putting a little more money into higher ed, but at least they're getting a 2% increase from last year.
And when you look at this, too, you know, I think it was the House voted on that teacher's minimum wage, $40,000. Probably should have already been done when you think about it in many respects. When you look at downstate educators and what they're paid in comparison to upstate Chicago, I mean, you know, like the president at John A. Logan College makes roughly what a music teacher in high school makes in Chicago.
Yeah, it's crazy, Tom. And so, you know, that was an extremely difficult bill for me. And here's why. My entire family has been in education, and You know, my mother's history, obviously.
Yeah.
My wife's a high school principal. She was a teacher prior to that. She's been in education 14 years. My mother-in-law is a retired teacher. You know, there is no doubt that we in this country do not value teachers to the level we should. They should absolutely be paid more than they are. But when you look at a scenario, this 40,000, you know, minimum funding, there are some school districts in especially deep southern Illinois that just can't afford that. And there's a finite amount of money without raising taxes on people. And you and I have talked about, especially property taxes, how people are being taxed out of their homes. You know, I just don't know that it's realistic. You can go to Chicago and, you know, probably the average salary for a school teacher in Chicago may be close to $80,000.
I think it is.
So, yeah. So it's a very difficult subject. You know, we should find a way, no doubt in my mind, we should find a way to reward educators, to try to, you know, make sure we're retaining the ones we have, as well as finding new people to go into education. It's absolutely one of the pillars of our economy and pillars of the United States. But,
yeah.
You know, you can't have a one-size-fits-all, unfortunately. And as you know, about 67% of people's property taxes, you know, goes to fund schools.
All right. By the way, I just looked it up. Public school teacher salaries, Chicago, Illinois, as of April 29th, 2018, median annual salary, $58,674. Will usually range between 51 to 67, not including bonus and benefit information. So just as before somebody says, you got it wrong, we got it right now. It's interesting because when you talk about, you know, the pensions, when I was reading an Associated Press published story, the last line, and I forgot which state representative was, yeah, I love the minimum wage, but we can't afford the pensions that are a derivative of that.
Yeah, and you know, Tom, so, you know, my take on the minimum wage, too, is, as you're aware, my district probably easily 50% of it borders Missouri. So, you know, when you've got a minimum wage in Illinois and it was being talked about going to $15 an hour, and then you've got the minimum wage right across the river that's, you know, half of that, it's just not economically feasible. I'd absolutely love to pay people $15 an hour, but you're going to drive business out of the state of Illinois, especially on borders.
You know, I received a message, David McSweeney, Illinois State Representative, last night, 11:52. He tells me, I hope that the governor, Governor Rauner, changes his mind and vetoes this terrible budget. He needs to stand up for the taxpayers. The budget uses the revenues from the massive 32% increase in the income tax rate. Governor Rauner can unite the Republican Party if he vetoes the budget and fights for real spending reforms and tax relief. I don't know how widespread or prevalent that type of thought is in the Republican section of the House, but it leads me to believe that today may be an interesting vote on the House.
I believe it will be an interesting vote. But, you know, to David's point, I would say, you know, currently the tax level, income tax level is 4.95, and that was raised from 3.75. The governor has said that he'd like for taxes to be at 3%, yet in this budget, you know, he seems to be in agreement with spending all of the revenue that was brought in by the 4.95. So, you know, you can't have it both ways.
You know, this progressive tax resolution, when it was passed earlier and I saw the large vote for it, I went over and took a look at the government website to see the synopsis on the legislation. There wasn't one, other than one sentence that we support progressive taxes. And that's the kind of thing that scares me, because the way I interpret that is, it's so bad we don't want to tell you.
So, the last time that you and I were on the phone together, you know, we absolutely talked about that. As you know, I'm the only Democrat in the House, actually the only Democrat in the legislature, that signed on to a resolution against the progressive income tax. It scares me, too. And at the end of the day, as we talked last time, you know, especially people in the legislature right now, Springfield, we need to build some trust with the public. I don't know that the public looks at the legislature as being wonderful stewards of their monies. And, you know, we need to learn to live within our means and try, instead of trying to figure out, you know, how to spend every cent that we could possibly get a hold of. So I totally agree with you. And what worries me the most is nobody's willing to roll out numbers as far as what this progressive income tax would look like.
And the last ones, Jerry, that they did were terrifying. 7% for everybody between $17,000 and $225,000. That was the last House bill.
That was. I believe that was rolled out, I don't know if it was a year ago or about 6 or 9 months ago. But, you know, if you look at that time, I believe that would have raised taxes on over 70% of people in the state of Illinois.
Right. When I saw that, I was like, this has got to be wrong. Hey, you know, I've got to change gears with you here a couple of moments, because you did something last week that I was watching very closely, and especially who joined you at the press conference and the support you got. Recently, the governor, in his amendatory veto, added the prospect of a death penalty returning to Illinois after a moratorium on it for crimes killing law enforcement agents, mass killings. You had said, you know, right, I'm support a death penalty, but you have taken a different tact and presented your own legislation to address this.
I did, Tom, and, you know, the governor did his amendatory veto. He had the 72-hour waiting period for all guns in the state of Illinois, which I just don't agree with. I think it's a diminishment of Second Amendment rights. As we've talked, we already have the FOID card, which is a duplicative system with the federal system and NICS. And, you know, so that was getting down in the weeds for me. The fact that he mixed this with the death penalty in his AV. So I have supported the death penalty for years. I still do. The legislation that I introduced is the death penalty. It would change the standard to beyond doubt instead of reasonable doubt. It would be for cop killers, killers of firefighters, and also mass murderers. So people that commit, you know, murders of two people or more, again, beyond doubt as far as a standard. It would be for people 18 years or older. And it would also, if someone has a diminished intellect, You know, they would only be eligible for life in prison.
Now, your idea being here, State Representative, that you take the death penalty and make it a separate piece of legislation so that when this this piece of legislation goes through, that you are not voting also on diminishing Second Amendment rights, and this seems to be a core issue with you.
It is absolutely a core issue with me. I think anybody in my district and hopefully Southern Illinois know that I am a very strong proponent of the Second Amendment. And, you know, at the end of the day, I want people to understand I'm not going to vote for the governor's AV because of the diminishment of Second Amendment rights, but I am for the death penalty.
All right. What else is to happen? You know, we're talking about the last day of the month. When you and I got on the phone, first thing you said is 31st, man. We're talking about the deadline. Clock's ticking here now, guys. What else? I mean, you've got the budget vote today. But I have a, you know, when you look at all the things that we're talking about, okayed legislation in the House, the grad students being union teachers, but not the researchers, interesting, 72-hour wait period on all guns. You've got the minimum wage teacher salaries. You've got this dangerous person bill taking guns away from them temporarily in the Senate. There's probably a couple of others here. I'm looking at my list. I mean, a busy time. Can you bullet point what you expect today and things maybe even other than the budget that will be interesting?
So, Tom, I don't think that you're going to see – I would hope you don't see anything that's really new that pops up today. I believe most of the bills are off the calendar. What we would do, we'll probably – my guess is we'll go in, go to caucus, talk about the budget. I would imagine that sometime early afternoon or right around noon, we would have a budget vote. And then most likely we would do concurrences, which, you know, are bills that have gone over to the Senate and they've been amended in some way, shape, or form. And I would expect that kind of finishes our duties here, and unless something drastically changes with the budget. As you know, it passed the Senate, I believe, 56-2. So there was an overwhelming, you know, bipartisan support for the budget.
And here's a weird thing, and I'm kind of curious. You know, when you have an election year like we've got, especially the governor's race coming up, right, and the session coming to the end, the budget's such an issue, and the not having the budget, it seemed from the outside looking in that the upcoming election didn't play as big a role in this session as I would have thought. Or maybe I'm missing some of the posturing, because there's a lot of gotcha stuff that's done in this time of the session, and I didn't sense it. It was are my instincts off?
I think you're dead on, and I would tell you this, that probably the last 3 or 4 weeks, I think everybody came to the reality that the state, you know, obviously, and the people of the state of Illinois are better with a budget in place. That's something that you and I talked about, and I was hoping the Senate President, the Speaker, and the Governor, you know, would come to the reality, and instead of, you know, the personal fighting that's gone on between them, that the entire state runs better with a budget in place.
Yeah.
So, knock on wood, and you know, assuming everything gets done today, I kind of think that's where we're at.
I wonder about that $11.5 billion. Do you think that's going to make it through? Infrastructure, governor's plan?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a very good question.
6 years, $11.5 billion. It splashes money all over the place. Seems to be primarily infrastructure repair, not so much new as keeping us new. But I know for a lot of rural areas, when I looked at the list out of Senator Fowler's district, I'm going, that's a lot of money.
Well, so here's what I'll tell you. Most likely it will pass. I think a lot of the projects, they go back as far as 2009. So I came in the legislature in 2011. So there are a lot of things that are on the books. A lot of different projects that are, whether they be partially complete or what have you, that there just hasn't been funding for. So if I look at it, I believe many of the projects are ones that have been on the books for quite some time.
Right. I believe that to be true. It's 8:42. State Representative Jerry Costello. You know, you ready for your awkward question of the day?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to get things right And I this is awkward. Did I mention that? Should I call you Jerry Costello the second? Should I call you Jerry Costello? Because I'm a firm believer, and a couple of my friends who had, you know, rather well-known fathers had often talked to me about this in the past, and I wonder if you had a feeling the way that what you prefer to be addressed in retrospect in respect to your father, whether it's Costello the second or just plain Jerry Costello.
You know, Tom, either way works for me. I go by Jerry Costello the second, but I think it's fairly obvious that I'm extremely proud of my father, the person he was, what he accomplished for Downstate and Southern Illinois. So either one I consider to be an honor being his namesake.
Good. All right. Then I'll rotate between the two. How's that? Okay?
Perfect.
Good luck today, Chief, really.
Hey, thank you, sir. You know what? What I'll do is what I always do, what I consider to be right for myself and the people of Southern Illinois. I believe I represent my district, not according to one party or one person, but what I believe is right for Southern Illinois.